Hi. You know, God has provided a standard of faith illustrated in Abraham of the Old Testament and practically applied and lived through Christians in the New Testament also. As Scripture declares in 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Israel was looking for a mighty warrior king to protect them from their enemies. Couldn't God protect them? You know, God's view of faith is clearly revealed by the trustful obedience of men to what God reveals to them. In other words, when God sees us faithfully obeying his clearly revealed will, given in the Bible, without understanding why we should take these actions or without even seeing results or benefits to ourselves for even doing what we're told, and even more, without ever seeing that it affects or helps others come to salvation and faith in Jesus, then and only then, he sees a faithful heart. He sees faith. You see, he does not need our strength or our help in any way. So if you lose heart, waver, give up, lose interest, etc., your heart's not right before God. The Bible says, "But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." That's Luke 9:62. Then James also says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." He's a double-minded, unstable in all his ways. The Greek word behind double-minded means two-spirited or two-hearted. The obvious result is vacillating between two purposes or two opinions back and forth, can't make decisions to do what God wants, doubtful. In fact, that's it. Doubt is the opposite of faith. Trust moves ahead without outward props to hold up your confidence, like a ship, moving carefully forward through fog and listening to the foghorn of a lighthouse until the beacon of light is spotted from its top. A faithful heart, it doesn't waver in the fog. Not from the course that he was clearly given on a clear day to reach the harbor, but trust the light and the foghorn for a safe ride home. A Christian does not need to doubt in darkness, in the darkness of confusion and spiritual testing, the direction God gave that person in the light of his word. The Bible says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's Psalm 119:105. God guides by his word, the Bible. Well, how does God heal broken men then and give them heart and faith? Well, Abram was a sinful pagan, seeking riches, deeply involved with his family, and enjoying the pleasures of this world. God intervened into his life and called him to leave everything he knew, his home, business and friends, his family, and his secure and comfortable, thought-out future. To receive blessing from God, he had to have faith. He had to trust a God he could not see, go to a place he didn't know, follow step-by-step instructions without an answer to what the second step would even be, and not waver in his response to God. To receive God's promise meant to follow God's instructions without argument and trust God was powerful enough to accomplish the impossible for him and lead him to his future. Well, faith demands adjustments to everything that is normal to you. steps of obedience affect everyone around you also. Abram's wife, for example, Sarai, she had to adjust and follow her husband's leadership. She had to go camping for the rest of her life instead of enjoying their beautiful home in the big city. She had to endanger her family through a wild and untamed and hostile environment. Well, these adjustments were God's will, not her husband's, and it was definitely contrary to her likes, feelings, and dreams. God's will is never your will. God's timing is never your timing. God will bring his plan to an end when we trust him to fulfill his purposes through and in us. Obviously, then, this takes courage to resist the temptation to give up to an easier life. It takes determination to stand firm when faced with spiritual battles and opposition. It takes wisdom to not allow success or seeming failure to distract us from God's divine guidance. We must become bold in our prayers for wayward friends and family members. So, how does God build a heart of faith in a man? Well, a man named Abraham learned to trust God through each experience of God's hand of mercy and deliverance. God told him to move to the present-day Israel. He got there, and the circumstances were terrible. There was severe famine, little food for his herds, and a desperate need for rain. It was a barren wasteland when he got there. Well, he didn't trust God to provide for him, so Abram reasoned it was better to do what he thought was best for his family. So he moved to the big cities of Egypt. Well, there he could do business with the rich people. But Sarai was beautiful, and Pharaoh wanted her in his harem, thinking she was available because Abram's lies. Well, since there was no faith in his heart to trust God's protection, he went out and told the Egyptians his wife was his sister. Abram had faith to move from his home, but not faith that God would protect and provide for him. He did not believe that God really loved him. God delivered Sarai from Pharaoh's hand, and the great king forced Abram out of his country, right back to the land that Abram left in fear and unbelief. Now, here we got Abram back where he started. And he sees God, though, in a new, powerful light, that he was able to deliver him from death. He finds out God can protect him, and his heart's enlarged. His faith is bigger. With the famine still bringing distress, though, Lot, his nephew, and Abram have to divide from each other to keep from fighting over food and water. Now he can trust God to provide, and he allows Lot to pick the most visible place of survival, the plain with the most water and vegetation. And Abraham has more faith, and so he picks the place that looks barren and worthless. Well, God forced Abram to grow in faith to the place that he had to choose between believing the impossible and it could happen, or giving up on God. Remember, God promised Abram that he would give him a son, and through him he would become a great nation of unnumbered descendants and known forever. One problem, he still never had children. Well, Isaac was finally born by a miraculous birth when they were too old to even have children. After the fact, they already couldn't have children when they were young enough to have children. But wait, there's more to this story. Next, God, wanting to finalize Abraham's faith, ordered him to literally sacrifice his son and burn him on a stone altar. Well, now the test of unwavering faith was given. Did Abram believe that God does not go back on his promise? Was Abraham able to stand up to this great test? Well, he went to the mountaintop to kill his son. believing that if necessary, God would raise him from the dead to fulfill his promise. And that was the key. So God could finally proclaim, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Genesis 22, verse 12. Well, you will prove your faith when you actually give up your life, your money, yes, your possessions, your health, your future, and your all into God's hands. Not in theory, but in practical, real-life actions. Abraham was a giant of the faith thousands of years ago, but today, Jesus calls all Christians to the exact same life of faith as him. He said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Matthew chapter 10, 37 and 38. The narrow road follower of Jesus has the same faith as the famous man of faith from the old days. So what are God's purposes today? Well, they never change. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them. That means accepting them into the new family of God's kingdom, his church. And then teaching them to obey all the clear commands of Christ. How do we do this? First and foremost, we personally become a narrow road disciple of the Lord Jesus through faith in his death on the cross for all our spiritual crimes, our sin. When we admit our spiritual crimes, turn from them to serve the living Christ, we start a life as Abraham did. You act in obedience and faith to him by joining the local church and living out Acts chapter 2, 42, fully surrendering to your authorities, including serving your church pastors. You can check that out in Hebrews 13. And taking God's message to the ends of the earth. That's Matthew 28. Your loyalty to a local church proves your faith. In the same way, loyalty to your spouse proves your love in your marriage. Okay, look it. Your faith is tested every day. Will you get up and follow the commands of Christ found in the Bible? Will you love your enemies? Will you tell others about Christ? Will you obey your parents if you're a child? Will you obey God when you see hypocrites inside the church and don't like it? Will you obey your husband when he wants to spend, that money in different ways than you want or think should be done? Will you stick to your spouse instead of divorcing he or she because you do not get your way? Will you love your God with all your heart? Will you obey God and trust him all the days of your life? Those are a lot of questions that you must answer. Well, for more answers, go straight to the book, the Bible. Thank you for listening to Straight Talk for Narrow Road Followers of Jesus. I hope to connect with you again soon. God bless. Oh,